Becatra Podcast Conversations for the Curious Essential Knowledge, Simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Becatra AI. Welcome to the deep dive.
Today we're getting really personal, actually. We're exploring the incredible structure inside all of us, the human body.
And our guide for this is Leslie Kleinevin, using her work to kind of unlock this amazing integrated system.
Exactly. So often anatomy feels like this huge, intimidating subject, right? Just lists of parts to memorize.
Yeah, totally daunting. But Kleinevin really shifts that perspective. Our goal today, our mission, is to understand the body not just as parts, but as a story. A story about how structure and function are deeply, elegantly connected.
It's about seeing it as this living narrative, you know, full of evolutionary compromises, clever designs, and a surprising amount of resilience.
And getting that, achieving that kind of biological literacy, that's really key to being informed about your own health, wouldn't you say? Absolutely. It's fundamental self-knowledge. Okay, so let's talk about our guide, Leslie Kleinevin. Her background is really interesting.
It really is. She's an emeritus consultant, orthopedic surgeon, yep. So hands-on surgical experience, and also a Hunterian professor at the Royal College of Surgeons of England.
That combination seems crucial.
Yeah, definitely.
Right.
It gives her this dual viewpoint. First, there's the clinical, the surgical side. She knows how the body works in reality, how it, well, breaks down.
Especially musculoskeletal stuff, right? Given her specialty.
Precisely. And how you actually repair it, it's not theoretical for her. She's dealt with the practicalities.
So she's not just seen diagrams of a knee. She's actually, you know, worked on one.
Exactly. And then there's the academic side. Mm-hmm. She's brilliant at taking all that complexity, joint mechanics, nerve pathways, you name it, and distilling it, making it clear and engaging for people who aren't specialists.
That perfect blend of rigor and relevance.
That's it.
Okay, so let's get into the core idea of her work. She really pushes back against just lifting body parts.
Yeah, she frames anatomy as this dynamic exploration, seeing the body as an integrated system, kind of masterpiece of functional design and, well, biological engineering.
And a key part of that is this idea of evolutionary compromise, isn't it?
Absolutely central. Hmm. It's not about perfect design like an engineer might aim for. It's about adaptation over millennia. What worked best given the constraints?
What's a really good example she uses? Something that clicks.
The human spine is a classic one she discusses. That S-shaped curve we have, it's vital for walking upright. It gives us balance, shock absorption.
Couldn't do it without it.
Right. But that same structure makes us incredibly prone to back problems. Chronic pain, slip discs, it's a trade-off.
Okay. So efficient movement came at the cost of some vulnerability.
Exactly. The body is always finding the best available path, not necessarily the perfect one from scratch. It makes studying it way more interesting, I think.
Definitely. So before we tour the systems, we need the basic toolkit, the language. Kleinevin starts with the anatomical position.
Yeah, the universal reference. Standing straight, palms facing forward, it just removes all ambiguity.
So when doctors use terms like superior towards the head or inferior towards the feet.
Or anterior for the front, posterior for the back.
And medial towards the middle, lateral, away from it, everyone's on the same page.
Precisely. It guarantees clarity, which is obviously crucial in health.
And she reminds us this wasn't always so clear cut. She mentions figures like Andreas Vesalius.
The father of modern anatomy. He was revolutionary because he actually looked. He challenged, what, like 1,400 years of dogma from Galen just by direct observation and dissection.
Just trusting his own eyes.
Yeah.
Amazing. Okay, and before we build systems, we need the basic materials, the four primary tissue types.
Right, the absolute foundation. Think of it like building materials. You've got epithelial mm-hmm. tissue that's like the covering, the lining, skin inside of your gut.
Boundaries.
Exactly. Then muscle tissue for movement, obviously. Yeah. Contraction. Nervous tissue for all the signaling, the communication.
It's wiring.
Yeah. And finally, connective tissue. This is the catch-all. It's the scaffolding, the support, the transport. Includes everything from fat to bone, even blood.
Wow. Okay. So those four are the basis for everything else.
Every single organ is built from combinations of those specialized cells.
Okay. Let's use that orthopedic lens now and look at the frame, the musculoskeletal system.
Right. We can kind of simplify the skeleton into two main jobs. There's the axial skeleton. That's the core. Skull, ribs, spine.
Yeah.
Its main role is protection.
Guarding the important stuff.
Yep. And then the appendicular skeleton, arms, legs, shoulder, and pelvic girdles. It's all about movement.
And that movement happens at the joints, particularly those synovial joints like knees and shoulders.
Exactly. Those are amazing structures. Bone ends covered in cartilage, ligaments holding it together, lubricating fluid. Incredibly efficient.
But bones need power, muscles.
Right. And muscles almost always work in pairs, antagonistic pairs. Kleinerman really highlights this. Think about your bicep contracting to bend your elbow.
Well, the tricep on the back has to relax.
Precisely. And then they switch roles to straighten it. That coordination gives a smooth, controlled movement, both power and fine control.
Okay, so that's the frame and engine. What about the control center? The nervous system, it seems overwhelmingly complex.
It is, but we can break it down following Kleinerman's approach. A big split is between the somatic system that's for voluntary stuff, moving your skeletal muscles when you decide to.
Like picking up this pen.
Exactly. And the autonomic system, which handles all the unconscious processes. Breathing, digestion, heart
The
rate.
background operation.
Yeah. And within the autonomic, you get that famous pair, sympathetic and parasympathetic.
Fight or flight versus rest and digest.
That's the one. Sympathetic is the accelerator stress response, adrenaline. Parasympathetic is the brake, calming down, conserving energy, dealing with digestion and maintenance.
It's incredible how it manages both. And Klarman points out how brain injuries really show this structure function link, right? Localization.
Absolutely. If someone has a stroke in a specific brain area, the function lost, maybe speech, maybe movement in one limb, tells you exactly what that area was responsible for. It's stark proof.
Okay, shifting gears from control to logistics, transport, the cardiovascular system.
The heart, that amazing four-chambered pump, just keeps going.
And the key functional difference in the pipes.
Right. Arteries carry blood away from the heart. They're generally high pressure, carrying oxygenated blood mostly. Veins bring blood back to the heart, usually lower pressure, deoxygenated blood.
But the actual work, the exchange, happens elsewhere.
In the capillaries, these tiny, tiny vessels are where the oxygen and nutrients actually get delivered to the tissues, and waste products like CO2 get picked up. They're the crucial interface.
Makes sense. Okay, speaking of waste, the renal system, the kidneys, more than just filters, you
Oh,
said.
much more. They're master regulators of the body's internal environment. Inside them are millions of tiny units called nephrons.
And they do three key things.
Yep. First, filtration. Basically, almost everything small gets pushed out of the blood. Second, reabsorption. The nephron then pulls back all the useful stuff the body wants to keep. Glucose, water, essential salt.
Selectively reclaiming the good stuff.
Exactly. And third, secretion, actively pumping out certain waste products that weren't filtered initially. It's a really sophisticated process.
And the whole point is homeostasis, keeping things stable inside.
Maintaining that delicate balance of water, electrolytes, acidity. It's a constant vital job.
Right. And one more control system, the slower one, the endocrine system.
Yes, the chemical messenger system. Instead of fast electrical signals like nerves, this uses hormones traveling through the bloodstream for longer-term control. Think metabolism, growth, stress response, reproduction.
Like the pancreas using insulin and glucagon to manage blood sugar.
Perfect example. Slower, maybe, but incredibly powerful and widespread effects.
Okay, stepping back now. If we pull together the big messages from Kleinerman's approach, what are the key takeaways? The first one feels like the foundation for everything else. Structure dictates function.
Absolutely. It's the core logic. Why is something shaped the way it is? Look at the small intestine. It's not just a smooth tube. It's incredibly long and folded and lined with these tiny finger-like things called villi.
To increase the surface area, right?
Massively. And that structure is perfectly suited to its function, maximizing the absorption of nutrients from our food. The form serves the purpose.
Okay, second big theme, system interdependence. The body isn't just a collection of separate parts.
No way. Kleinerman emphasizes this constantly. It's a network. Health relies on all these systems cooperating smoothly. A problem in one area almost always ripples outwards.
Like chronic stress hitting the nervous system, which then affects your heart or your digestion.
Exactly. You can't really isolate problems. It's holistic.
Theme three, we touched on it. Homeostasis, that constant drive for internal balance.
A continuous balancing act. The kidneys manage water and salts, but even the lungs play a role by regulating CO2 levels, which affects blood pH. It's a collective effort.
And the fourth theme ties back to the beginning, the evolutionary blueprint. Our bodies tell a story of adaptation.
Yeah, we're like living museums. We have these brilliant adaptations like our amazing brains or efficient hearts, but we also carry the compromises, that vulnerable spine again. and even leftover bits, vestigial structures like the appendix, perhaps. It's a record of our journey.
Kleiman has some really memorable ways of phrasing these ideas. Let's share a couple. The first really captures that structure function idea. Form does not exist for its own sake. It exists to serve function.
That just changes how you look at anatomy, doesn't it? It forces you to ask why. Why that shape? Why that connection? It's about understanding the purpose, not just naming the part.
And this next one highlights the interconnectedness. The human body is a symphony of interconnected systems. The failure of one instrument can throw the entire orchestra out of tune.
Such a great metaphor. It really speaks to that holistic view. You can't just fix one faulty instrument in isolation. You have to understand how it affects the whole performance, the whole body.
And a final one looking forward. The modern anatomist's toolkit has expanded far beyond the scalpel. We are moving from an anatomy of the dead to an anatomy of the living.
Yeah, that's about the impact of technology, isn't it? Things like MRI, CT scans.
Yeah.
We can now see the body functioning dynamically, in real time. It's not just about dissection anymore. It opens doors to things like regenerative medicine, too.
So bringing this all home for the listener, what's the practical benefit, the superpower you get from understanding this stuff?
Well, the first one is huge. Informed health management.
Yeah.
Just having a basic mental map of your body, knowing what and where things are, empowers you hugely when you talk to doctors.
So if they say torn meniscus or bronchial inflammation, it's not just jargon. You have a context.
Exactly. You can ask better questions, understand the answers better, be a better advocate for yourself.
Okay. Application 2 follows from that. Developing a kind of BS detector.
Yeah. When you grasp the basics of, say, how your kidneys and liver actually work, how incredibly efficient they are at filtering and processing, you become, shall we say, skeptical of simplistic health claims.
It's like fad detox products.
Precisely. You understand your body already has amazing systems for that. Basic anatomy knowledge helps you evaluate health information more critically.
And thirdly, for anyone active, enhanced physical performance and safety.
Definitely. Knowing how muscles work in pairs, understanding joint mechanics, it translates directly into better exercise technique, smarter training, and crucially, a lower risk of injury. You connect your mind to the movement more effectively.
Stops it being just deswork.
Right.
Okay, final thoughts. For me, the thing that really stuck out from Klenerman's perspective was the dynamic nature of structures I thought were fixed, like a bone.
Just dead scaffolding.
Right. I always pictured it as inert, but she emphasizes it's living tissue, constantly remodeling, metabolically active. You see it so clearly when a fracture heals. It rebuilds itself. That resilience is amazing.
It really is. And for my final thought, I think Klenerman's greatest achievement is making this knowledge feel accessible again. She cuts through the intimidating medical jargon and reminds us that understanding our own bodies is, well, fundamental. It's not just for doctors.
It's empowering.
It absolutely is. Knowing your anatomy gives you real power. Power to make better health choices, power to engage more confidently with medicine when you need to. It's your body, after all.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Akatra Foundation.